Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Kadira Aisha Muhammad with Religion Means Alive. Today's date is March the 5th, 2016. And tonight's topic is interview with Saiful Haq, who is the director and producer of the Dean Overdulia show. Inshallah, that he'll join us in a few moments so that we can proceed with the interview. Until that time, I just want to, you know, go through my regular routine and, you know, first and foremost, thank Allah for giving me another day to see, to spend with my family, to just being able to reflect on things in life and not take for granted everything that we have, you know, our sight or use of our limbs, things of that nature. You know, these are the things that, you know, I reflect highly on every day because I just find those extremely important, and those are things that we shouldn't take for granted at no point in time, always keeping them, you know, at the forefront of what we do. And I'm just checking with him. Just to see if he's going to join. I have to get the information back over to him just so he can. If that's you, we're waiting for you. If that's you, just press 1, and then I can put you through. Guess that's not. So let me just resend a link to him and make sure he has it. Oh, that is so. So. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, how are you? I'm good. Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
You just came on, right?
I just came on. I was just going through some formalities. I wanted to give you, you know, a couple of minutes to be able to get yourself together and be able to join us on the call. Again, this is your second time on the show. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be able to do the interview with me. But, you know, before it was just about, you know, your show and you and things like that. But I wanted to take this time out to be able to promote your movie, which is scheduled to appear, inshallah, next Thursday at the Pearl Theater on Temple's campus. So I wanted you to tell people a little bit about yourself, a little bit about the movie, and what to expect, inshallah.
Now, mashallah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-Rajim, la ilaha illallah. Now, my name is Saiful Haq. I've been Muslim since 1996. You know, I go to Imam Tushuddin Masjid Muhammad, down on 10th Street, Penn and Belfield. And I've been speaking publicly since 2009, inshallah. I was part of the organization of Man and Folio Group with Iman Khalil, Iman Naeem, and Hanifa Duali. They got their own mansion now in the Southwest. And he actually asked me to come up with a radio show so they can promote Dawah. And that's when I came up with the Dean Overdulia show. And at first I was just a host. You know, I was a moderator and just asked questions, inshallah. And I think around that time, the Muslim brother had robbed the bank and killed the cop, and they killed him. Remember that, the brother Howard Cain? And the Masjid wouldn't bury him. You know, they wouldn't bury him. And I had went off on a particular show about that. And ever since then, I've just been doing shows, you know, because we got so many ratings and so many people asked me to do the show. You know, in 2010, the movie came out called Muslim that was created by Bashir Basham. He had did a movie called Muslim with Nia Long in it, and Evan Ross, Diana Ross' son, and Danny Glover. And I seen him at the premiere, and I asked him, would he come on my radio show? And he said, yeah. So when he came on my show, we had the interview, and I was asking him, would he continue to make more Islamic movies? And he was saying, he's not going to focus on Islamic. He won't just focus on good movies. So I told myself that that would be a good thing to do, start making Islamic movies for Muslims and by Muslims, to show our story in order to combat all the negative media images that they have about Islam. And so people can have what clear Islam is in the world, because a lot of people only see Islam through their neighbors, their coworkers. You know, they might see somebody on the street doing something wrong. So maybe they have a misconstrued conception of what Islam is. So I thought the movie would be a good starting point out of many movies to come to be, you know, shed a light on Islam. And one of the problems that we have in Philadelphia is crime. And a lot of Muslims, unfortunately, are involved in criminal behavior. You know, you see that in the prison population with a lot of population and a lot of people, Muslims in prison are Muslim. You know, so we want to combat that, to say that we're not criminals. But that's what the Dean of Adunia movie is about, to show people that they shouldn't be criminals and they can choose Islam. They can't be both. You can't be a Muslim and a criminal at the same time. So there's a lot of good in the movie, and there's also a lot of bad, because it shows the negative side of the community. You know, so inshallah it do well, but it's just a positive message to put out there ultimately. But unfortunately, you're going to see both sides of the spectrum in the movie, inshallah.
And I think that's extremely important to do it that way, because, you know, nobody is perfect. And, you know, we all come short, and we have our faults, and we have our sins and our shortcomings and things of that nature. No. You know, and just watching the you know, like the clip of the movie and things like that, it was just inspiring to me, because, you know, like, a lot of people fail to realize, like, you did this on your own. Like, you didn't have, you know, major funding or anything like that. Like, you took your time and your energy out to, you know, put everything together. And, you know, may Allah reward you for that, because I know that couldn't be easy. I do, you know, just small things on, you know, things on a small scale, to try to get things together. And, you know, just working with African Americans is a tough job, and then, you know, incorporating the Muslims as well is another job in itself. And I mean, even when you're trying to do something positive, it's always going to have its pit stops and the pitfalls and things of that nature. So, you know, I commend you, and I thank you for, you know, doing this for the community. And maybe it will not just shed a light on, like, some of the struggles that we go through, but maybe it'll also open the door so that people can see what Islam is really about. It's not about this thug life and oppressing women and, you know, still dipping and dabbing in things that, you know, incorporate the dunya, so forth and so on. But, you know, it's a religion. It's a real religion. It's a real movement here. It's something that people live by from the time they wake up to the time they go to sleep. And, you know, I tell people, on a whole, you know, Philly is like a little Mecca. And if we could just come together and build on our resources, I mean, we could be so much more than what people think we are. Or, you know, a lot of people come here to shop, and a lot of people come here to, you know, attend, you know, the masjids and, you know, to get dawah and things of that nature. But we got so much more to offer. And, you know, inshallah, this opens the door as a gateway, you know, to bigger and better things for positivity for Muslims and African Americans in Philadelphia. So, again, I thank you for, you know, doing it for us, because this is definitely something, you know, that the Muslims should understand is for them, and it's in a positive light. So go ahead, tell us a little bit more about, like, you know, what you're working on, what you got planned in the works and things like that. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's to be expected for the movie, for its premiere next Thursday, inshallah.
No, well, before I wrote the movie, Dean of Adunia, I had to do, like, studying and research on how to write a script, you know, because I wanted the movie to be, like, something worthy to watch, something interesting. So the movie is based with three storylines. You know, you have my storyline with me and my wife. You have a person who was Muslim born his whole life, Muhammad, his storyline, and you have Sadat the Beast, his storyline. So my storyline is that the members of the masjid want me to come out the masjid and go talk to the drug dealers and go talk to the criminals about Islam because it's important. But my attitude is I'm not going out there. If they come to me, then I'll talk to them, but I'm not going out there to their world. So that was my attitude. And basically I was saying if Allah send me a sign to go out there, then I go. But other than that, I'm not going. Until my wife got shot in the drive-by shootings in the movie. And that infuriates me to go out there. Now I have to go out there to find out who shot her, who did this. And in the process of that, I wind up talking to people and help people get on their deen and things like that because they never got the message of Islam or heard it because people are not out there doing dawah. You see what I'm saying? You have to leave the masjid in order to give the people the haq and the truth that they're looking for because that's the sunnah of the Prophet. He left the masjid. He wasn't staying in the masjid. He went to the marketplace. He went to where the people were in the gutters of the ghetto and gave them Islam. You know, so that's what I had to learn the hard way. You see what I'm saying? And Muhammad, his storyline, he's a Muslim who was born Muslim. He was a Muslim who was born Muslim, but he never practiced Islam. So he don't really know what Islam is. He don't even know how to pray. But he know he was born Muslim, and his conscience is making him ask questions about what he's doing because he's in an organization of criminals. So his conscience is making him ask questions about what is he doing, like why are we doing this and things like that. You know, so he's struggling with his identity as a Muslim and trying to learn through Islam. And Sadat the Beast character, his character is the character of a lot of Muslims, unfortunately, in Philadelphia, where they don't care that you're Muslim, and they don't care that you look like a Muslim or you talk like a Muslim. They will treat you like a non-Muslim at any given time. They will take your life. They will rob you. You see what I'm saying? They're going to treat you like they don't even know you. Islam doesn't mean anything to them, even though they look Muslim, they dress Muslim, and they may give you the salams, but that doesn't mean anything to them ultimately when the money is on the table. And there's a lot of Muslims in the city like that. You see what I'm saying? And I want to show that this is how it really is. Like, people have to understand these people are not our brothers in Islam, you know, because the brothers in Islam don't do certain things. In reality, they are the party of Shaitan. And I want people to understand that in the movie, like, these people are not our brothers because Muslims are saying, no, these are our brothers. Like, no, they're not our brothers. Your brother won't kill you. He won't rob you and take your life. That's not your brother. That's the enemy. You see what I'm saying? Right. That's not a person who believes in Allah. That's not a person who adheres to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is your enemy. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to look at him as that. Because in Islam, if you go to Saudi Arabia, if you pull out a gun on a citizen in Saudi Arabia, the penalty for that, according to the Sharia, is death. Because according to the Sharia, a Muslim should be able to walk the street safe without harm from his brother. And if you pull a gun out on him, even if you intend to kill him, the fact that he fears you, you're not his brother. Because he shouldn't fear you. He should fear the kuffar or his enemy. You see what I'm saying? And people have to understand that Islam, if you enter this brotherhood, there are rules and regulations that you must adhere by in order to become a brother or a Muslim. You can't just do what you want to do and say what you want to say and say, all right, I'm still a Muslim. No, you got to adhere to these rules. So a lot of people in the comments, according to the trailer, was angry with me because I banned Muslims from the masjid that sell drugs in the movie, right? But my whole point was that if you look up the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, right, there were certain Muslims that he banned from the masjid because of certain things that they'd done. Because the masjid is not a right. Like, you have a right to go to the masjid. No, the masjid is a privilege because Allah made the entire earth the masjid. So you can go anywhere and pray. You don't have to come here. But if you walk inside those doors of the masjid, there are certain codes and conduct that you must abide by in order to become a member. You can't just do what you want to do. You see what I'm saying? So people have to understand that if you read the Quran and you read the tafsirs, the Prophet ﷺ banned certain Muslims from the masjid. He banned the Muslims for giving certain Muslims their salams. Don't even greet that Muslim. You see what I'm saying? Right. So there are certain things that you must adhere to in Islam in order to become a brother. You know, and the people have to understand that we can never be brothers and sisters until we adhere to the basic fundamentals of those principles. Like the Prophet said that none of you would truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. when people hear that hadith, he's not just saying it. It's not just something that he's saying. He really means it. You won't become a believer until you want for your sister, until you want for your brother, what you want for yourself. If you don't internalize that and really believe that, then you're not a true believer. Because that's not just a hadith that he's just making a statement because it sounds good. He really telling you this is what it is. And we haven't internalized that.
Right, and people don't get that. Like, you know, one thing, it was years ago, I was attending a class and we were asked to gather items that we would want to donate. But one of the stipulations of us donating those items were that they were things that we held dear to us, that they were things that we would wear the next day, not something that we had buried in back of our closet or something that, you know, we didn't have no intention of wearing or was out of style or, you know, it faded and things like that. And, you know, when the sister explained to us that, you know, based upon what you just said, that, you know, our condition won't change until we want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves, she explained to that in detail as if somebody was giving you something, would you want them to give you something that they really didn't hold value to, or do you want them to give you something that they would take off their back and be able to give to you? And, you know, that's an important fundamental in Islam that we take too lightly. We don't really take the time to, you know, dig deep down and understand some of the basic ideals and principles that, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught for us, you know. So, you know, people need to pay attention to those things and stop looking at it on such a high level. You know what I mean? Take some time to dig deep down into the topic of something and, you know, start to break it apart and pick it apart to take each piece and learn from it and move forward with it and take that and pass it on to someone else. That's something that we don't do, and people don't understand that you get blessings for that. Like, once you learn something and it's the correct way and you teach the next person with the correct way, anytime somebody learns the correct way from the person that you taught, you get a blessing for that. And people, you know, fail to realize that. So, again, you know, may Allah reward you for doing this and even thinking of it, because a lot of people think things and don't make it manifest because it becomes too hard. It becomes too cumbersome. You know, it takes a toll on us, and a lot of times we get frustrated. I know, like with myself, I get frustrated. Like, if something don't work out for me and the way I want it to work out and how I want it to work out, you know, I give up easily on it because I don't like that level of frustration. I don't like to be stressed. So, you know, I commend you again for doing all this, because I know it couldn't have been easy. I know it couldn't have been easy. And, you know, we spoke about, you know, this behind the scenes about, you know, like some of the things that you went through just trying to make it. So, you know, I know on a personal level, you know, how stressful it was, and that, you know, it wasn't easy for you to do. So, you know.
And if people have to understand that this project was only going to get done by the pleasure of Allah. That's it. And that's
right.
Like the God's honest truth. Because from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been testing me. You know, it has been testing me because the very first casting call that I had for the movie, like 3 weeks before the casting call, my house had caught on fire and I lost everything, you know. And mentally, I wasn't ready to have a casting call, but I didn't want to give up on the project that I seen, because it was PCBD left. And I knew that this project only going to get done if Allah hated it. Other than that, then it's going to be what it is.
Right.
And that's just the truth. It's going to be what it is. And a lot along the way, I wanted to quit. So, you know what? I give up. Because I wasn't getting the support from the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending me people that wanted to be part of the project, not for money, not for fame, just because it was a good message for the people. Their heart had to be sincere and correct and to be part of the project. That's it. It was nothing else needed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it done. Because the computer that I was doing the movie on and the editing, the computer just malfunctioned, broke. So I said, oh, it's a wrap, because in order to get another computer like that, you need money. And one of the fans of the Dean Overdoing a radio show called me and said, listen, I'll get you a brand new computer. I said, no, because I felt bad. Like, you going to do what? He said, but he want the movement to continue. So I said, it's the work of Allah. It ain't me, because I don't have the money to get the computer. But if he going to get it, then it's a loss of $100 sending you help. He's sending you people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why when I'm selling the Dean Overdoing tickets, I give free tickets to people. You buy one ticket, I give you two. You buy two, I give you three. Because it's not about money. I just want people to go see the movie. That's the whole purpose of it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to go to the theater and see an Islamic movie in Philly for the first time in the history of this city with the name of Allah on the big screen. That's something that people have to see. You have to support
that.
Right. Because the reality to it is it's made by a Muslim. So you know I'm not going to have craziness in the movie.
Right.
It's the movie is based upon Deen and Haq. It got real hadith in the movie, real Quranic ayat. Real recitation of the Quran. You see what I'm saying? So it's just the first movie out of many, because the next movie is going to be Cover Girls, and Cover Girls is about the Muslimas, about what they go through on an everyday basis. Because men, we don't know what they go through. We don't know their world. They do things that we're not of that world to know what their life is like. When they go to a job interview and they cover, and they get discriminated because they're Muslim, because they got to play the front line. We can cut our beards, we can put our pants below our ankles, we can look the part of a kufar, but they can't.
Right.
They have to be Muslim. And so therefore they get the brunt of all of the men. We don't know that. We don't even know that side of how it feels to be like that. We criticize them or put your overgarment, but we don't know what they go through. We have no idea.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? When something happens with Muslims, the sisters are the ones that get, we're going to pull their camera off, we're going to hit, because they're the target, because they are visual. We're not visual.
Right.
There's a lot of men that look like Muslims, but you can't really tell. But the sisters, they got to go out there every day and deal with that.
Absolutely. Trust and believe. I know that firsthand, and it's definitely not easy. But, you know, one thing that I say, with that is keep Allah first in everything that you do. I've been working at my job for 23 years, and for 23 years I have been covered, and I work in corporate white America. I'm the only black Muslim in my entire department. So, you know, I keep it professional, and I let people, you know, they know I'm Muslim. And, you know, I don't mix business with pleasure, and I don't discuss religion. I don't discuss politics at work. I come here to do a job. I treat you respectfully. I expect you to treat me respectfully, do my work, and call it a day. You know what I mean? And that's how I have always approached it. And do I know people feel a certain type of way about me? Absolutely. Absolutely. But one thing that I say is, with anybody who may be listening to this, if you portray yourself like a Muslim is supposed to be upheld and portrayed in the eye of the people, then you won't have no problems, inshallah. You won't have no problems. If you coming in and out of hijab, and one day you in a short skirt, and then the next day you got your kimar and overgarment on, yeah, you're going to incur some trouble. But if you carry yourself like that every day to work, you ain't going to have no problems. I never had no problems. And, you know, when I did experience some things, I just was like, you know, I know my rights as an employee, and I know my rights as a human being. And if they're being infringed upon, I'm going to HR with this. And, you know, just leave it like that. Like, I'm not going to go battle with you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to explain nothing to you. I'll just deal with HR and get my lawyer involved. And, you know, leave it at that. And, you know, like, where I work at, I'm going to name my employer nameless. But the company that I work for, they don't want no problem. Best believe they don't want no problem. So they're going to deal with that in the best way and the most positive way that they can. So, I commend you on that. That's definitely something that, you know, and working in a city like Philadelphia, I think it also makes it easy for a lot of Muslims to be able to work and work covered. I'm not just talking about like a jilbab or a abaya and a kimar. I'm talking about with niqab, because in the city of Philadelphia, it's a different climate. It's a different environment. Like, you see Muslims every 5 minutes. Like, you can't go 5 minutes without seeing a Muslim. And even in the inner city, like, where a lot of the businesses and things like that are, people who are coming from outside the city, from the suburbs in the city, they experience this. They see this on the trains and stuff, so they're not, you know, shocked to see it. This is something that they, so when Muslimas come to interviews for work and cover completely with niqab and everything on, they're comfortable with it because they see it. So it's a different climate, and I tell people that it's a different climate, it's a different type of atmosphere in the city of Philadelphia, which is not indicative to other cities. Because, you know, like other people, you're going to have that kind of problem because they're not exposed to Islam. I'm not talking about, like, you know, they live next door to a Muslim, but when you are constantly, I want to say, bombarded with something, you become, your level of tolerance lessens with it. Like, you become, okay, more accepting of it because you see it so often. So that's something that is indicative to Philadelphia, and it makes it a little bit more easier for Muslims to get jobs here in the city. Don't know about other places, but that just has been my experience because we had, at different times in various departments, we got 3-4 Muslims working.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and nobody never had a problem with that. And I'm talking about not just black Muslims, Arab, Asian. You know, I worked with a variety of different Muslims, so it was never an issue where, you know, we felt some kind of way like they were just trying to, you know, make their quota, like we got to hire this person. I never felt or experienced that at my job, so I knew it was just a genuine, this person was the right fit for the position, so we're going to bring that person on. So, you know, that's something that's been, like you said, you know, we can't cover up who we are. We can't hide what we do and things like that. So I look forward to, you know, seeing that and inshallah that it manifests and becomes something that, you know, is released and seen by the world. Because, you know, like I said, the city is different than different parts of the world, different states, different, even different cities. Like a Muslim here in Philadelphia is not going to experience the same thing if you live out in Pottstown somewhere. It's a different climate. It's a different type of environment that we live in, you know, and I live right outside the city, and where I live at, it's a lot of different Muslims. Like, we have Pakistani, we have Bangladesh, we have Indian, we have African. We got all kinds of Muslims out here, and that's a whole different, you know, culture clash, you know, like everybody don't know what everybody allows and what people do and things like that, so that's a lot of the things that I experience out here is the culture differences. You know, we don't experience that too much in Philly because, you know, it's a primary, you know, African-American living city. But outside the city, it's a little bit different. You know, they start to look at you sideways and stuff like that. But, you know, they look at you sideways like, no, I'm Muslim. You know, you got to tell them, yeah, I'm Muslim. They were like, oh, okay, like, you know, and we know why they do that, because some, you know, some women wear the hair tied up just because their hair ain't done, and they do it, and, you know, until they see you offer the salams or something like that, or, you know, do something, hand them the money in their right hand, when they go and take it with their left hand, you're like, no, hand in your right hand, then they, okay, you Muslim, like, they know, so, you know, I get that all the time. What else you got going forward? Like,
we're working on a project called The Strangers. The Strangers is going to be about the Muslims in the 90s, before it was actually cool to be a Muslim. You know, the ones who got the brunt of the criticism from the non-Muslims, as far as sisters being called ninjas and brothers wearing high waters and dresses and things like that, what they went through. Because it was actually the Muslims in the 90s that got Nabisco to take pork out of Oreos. Because people don't understand that pork had Oreos. I mean, Oreos had pork in it at one time. You know, right. And Muslims wouldn't eat it. So they took it out of the Oreos. See, that's the thing that we be trying to bring back, the unity. Once you unify on something and make them change something because we was unified, they did it. You know, the Muslims in the 90s is the reason why there's a halal, they had a halal section in ShopRite. because they demand it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, when you stick together, you can change your environment. But if you don't care about your eating halal and you eat at McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and don't support your brothers, then the halal store is just going to go away because you don't support them. It's not about if you agree with it. It's about support. Allah will aid us if we support one another. So The Strangers, that movie is going to be about the Muslims in the 90s and what they went through in order to change the environment. Because you see Muslims in Philly now like it's normal, but it wasn't always like that. You know,
right.
They had to fight. They had to band together in order to make people respect Islam. You know, make people respect Muslims. Like, they had to do that. And it seemed like all of that got untangled and destroyed with after 9/11. You know, I mean, after 9/11, a lot of the imams, you know, stopped speaking the talk of, you know, speaking against the government and things like that, and they, you know, remained quiet, and it seemed like it just fell apart.
Right.
You know, but that's another movie we're going to make. But I'm trying to do a TV show called House of Iman, which is like, it's going to be like the Islamic version of Good Times. Because Good Times was like the best show in the 70s that had morals and moral standards and close to Islam with not stealing and not, you know, robbers, not cheating the system. Like, they had a husband and a wife in the house that took care of their kids. That TV show was close to Islam as far as their moral mannerism. You know, and House of Iman is basically patterned after that. It's going to be an Islamic comedy that's going to be on YouTube every week. People can watch it every week, inshallah. And the Iman, he's going to be, is about his life at home. He's the Iman of the Masjid, but it's about his life at home. And he has two sons and a daughter, you know, that will be basically patterned after JJ and Michael and Selma. And he has a wife who don't work. She's a stay-at-home wife. So that's what House of Iman was about. But we couldn't get anybody to fulfill the roles. So we put it on the side for a minute.
Yeah,
you know, so, mashallah.
We worked hard on that. I mean, you know, inshallah, with the weather changing, you know, a lot of people don't travel and things like that. When it get cold, you know how black people is. We don't like the cold and we don't like to come out in the cold. So, inshallah.
I think after this movie, people going to come together and see what we can accomplish if we come together, though.
Yeah, you know,
I think you have to do something to make people believe that you can do it.
Right. Absolutely, inshallah. You know, because I believe that is something positive as well. You know, we got all these reality TV shows. We got all this violence and stuff that's going on. You know, these women that portray women in such a negative light state, you know, glorifying, you know, showing and revealing their body and not having a stable home and living a vicarious livelihood and just, you know, all over the place. These men just disrespectful to women, no kind of home training. Then we got the whole homosexuality thing going on. And this is, you know, so much that is being promoted that is so negative. And then it's like when something positive is trying to come about, people even downgrade and play that low, like, you know, that ain't interesting or whatever like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, about shooting, killing, stabbing somebody or, you know, sleeping with how many men and sleeping with how many women and how many surgeries you done had. I mean, this is something, what you're trying to do is reestablish where we need to be at as not only a people. I mean, just have some kind of common decency and respect for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, people don't think that the home anymore, and I spoke on this on the show about the feminist movement. The feminist movement had nothing to do with Islam. And when I see sisters and when I hear sisters say that, you know, I don't need a husband or, you know, my husband don't have to take care of me. Like, he don't have to take care of me. I'm relinquishing my rights. So, you know, he don't have to do nothing. Like, when I hear things like this, like, first and foremost, that's part of the feminist movement, and that's the destruction of African-American home, first and foremost. Second of all, that's against Islam. Everything that you're saying is against Islam. That's not what the law said. A law gave you rights, and you're entitled to those rights. And when I hear, you know, particularly sisters talk like this, it's just like, man, you know, we need some positivity to reinforce what we should already know. And, you know, stop cutting and pasting and doing all this other nonsense. Like, you know, you get these Google shakes and these cut and paste shakes. People who haven't studied Islam except for reading the hadith that you just read, you cut and paste it. You searched it and you cut and paste it. You put it on the next post. But you got to understand, this is what people fail to realize. Those sheikhs and scholars did not have the search engines that we do today. They sat in the masjids, they sat in the universities, and studied almost their entire lives to understand the religion. So when you take upon yourself to think that you can cut and paste a hadith and say, oh, this is what it is and this is what it means, like, you don't even know the fiqh behind it. Like, you don't know nothing about that. You're just cutting and pasting. And, you know, we got to get back to that of actually picking up a book, because we got too much stuff that's going on shady with the religion, and people don't even know it. People don't even know half the stuff. People be sitting up here quoting hadith, and it's fake hadith, because you can't go with no hadith and find these hadith that you're talking. They're saying that certain sheikhs are saying things. These people never said it. You know, so it's time for us to get back to the roots. It's time for us to get back to, you know, actually studying the way that we need to be studying and getting away from the TV or the radio. And, you know, we should encourage our children. We should encourage our neighbors. We should encourage our friends and family to focus on things that are more positive, especially if you're Muslim. Like, I don't understand how, you know, when I posted, you know, I've been supporting you from day one with this initiative, and, you know, I'm putting it out, and people come to me like, oh, I'm not supporting that. Okay, then you don't have to support it. Continue on. You know, continue on. Do you. Do you. But don't tell me that I shouldn't support it. When you have no valid reason of telling me why I should not support the brother, why should not support him? Oh, because of this and because of that. Like, okay, well, that's how you feel. At the end of the day, I'm a still supporter. Why? Because he's not promoting drugs and shooting up and, you know, watching scantily clad women and, you know, encouraging fitness amongst people. Well, he's trying to do something positive. And because he's trying to do something positive, I'm going to support that. I'm going to support that no matter what you say. Now, if he's doing any of those other things, yes, I would cut my ties on it and be done with it. But because he is doing something positive for the Muslim community, first and foremost, it don't do with being black. It's about the Muslim community. Like, this is what we need. We don't have nobody doing that. We don't have nobody promoting the good and forbidding evil. You know, people tell, put these lectures and things out there like that, but they don't never really emphasize it. Like, you can listen to a lecture all day, but what are you doing to back that up? Because that's how black people learn. You can tell us once, but we need that reinforcement of constantly, whatever we learn, we're going to learn A, B, and C from that lecture. And we're going to learn it in this class, in this class, in this class. You can put out there 1,000 lectures, but if you're not implementing what you have taught, these people will never learn it. And that's how black people learn. We have to have that reinforcement. We have to have that reinforcement. And again, so any kind of initiative, anything that you're doing, I'm going to support it if I feel as though it's in a positive light. And that's just me. And, you know, you're always welcome to be on the show, to support whatever you're doing. And I encourage that, because we don't have people out here. And one thing that I have been focusing on the last couple of weeks is I have been interviewing African-American men who are doing positive things in the city of Philadelphia. I've been, you know, I did a comedian. I did my cousin who's doing a movie as well. And, you know, I just think that because if you look in the news, you see such negativity about African-American. Everything is about African-American. But what they mainly focus on is African-American men. They want to downgrade. They want to degrade y'all. They want to, you know, basically wipe y'all off the face of the about what they think I feel about African American men, and again, I ain't gonna get into that tonight. But I feel like, you know, to combat what y'all think about me, about how I think about African American men, I'm gonna promote positivity. And that's another reason why I asked you to come on the show, because I want people to see that African American men aren't just locked up. They're not just, you know, not handling their responsibilities. They're not selling drugs. They're not doing things negative in the community. So if I can get more African-American men who are doing positive things in their city, I'm going to have them on the show, because this is something that I think that everybody needs to see in the forefront, because it's so important, because all you see in the news is something negative about African-American men. So
what I don't understand is that certain Muslims, they act like it's a righteous action to say that you're not going to support a brother. But if you're going to hold these truths, if that's your stance, then you need to be across the board, because there's no way you can support Kufar, I mean, every day of your life, and they can't support your own brother. That doesn't look right. That's not a righteous action. You know, when I say support, I mean, if you own cable, that means you're supporting the Kufars because you're paying them every month. If you own a cell phone, you're paying them every month. If you're watching television like The Wire and Empire, you're supporting homosexuality. But when it comes to your brother, you can't support him because you believe it's the righteous stance to not support him. Because I had certain people say, well, I can't support it because you have violence in it. I say, all right, every year, the whole community come together and we watch this movie called The Message, based on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. That movie have a lot of violence in it. There's wars in that movie. Killing each other with swords, that's violence, but you support that. So what do you mean? That's because it's based off life and reality. Life has violence in it. That's just the way it is. So it's not about supporting the violence. You're supporting the positive message that's in the movie. You see what I'm saying? You're not being righteous by saying that you're not supporting the brother. That doesn't sound right, because you support everybody else. And the reason why I'm doing movies and television shows, because instead of just telling people don't watch television because they're not going to do it, don't listen to music because they're not going to do it, give them an alternative of something that you can watch that's permissible, have the name of Allah, and have you remember Allah. That's what you can do. Because people are not going to stop getting on Facebook. They're not going to stop getting on Instagram. But give them an alternative of something that's basically Islam.
Right.
Give them that. And that would be more effective than to tell them, well, don't watch television. Okay, well, if you're not going to support the movie, why? What is it about the movie that you dislike about it? Because it's an Islamic movie. It's called Deen Over Dunya. That's the reality. It has Muslims in it. So what is it about the movie that you don't support? What is it that you don't like? That's what I don't understand. You know, if you don't like me personally, Saiful Haq, personally, that's cool, but you still can support the movie. Because there's other Muslims in the movie, other actors, there's a message in the movie. So people have to get over things like that, because we have to support one another, whether we agree or not, because we are a minority in this earth. We are a minority in this city. We don't own anything. Yeah, I mean, it ain't like I own a club where I can just get you a job. I don't own nothing, you don't own nothing, and we don't support one another. So therefore, we can't own anything, because that's our mentality. When you don't see this behavior in any other religion, on the face of the earth, there's no Christians that say, well, I'm not going to support that man, that church. I'm not. They band together. There's no Jehovah's Witness say, I'm not going to support that Jehovah's Witness temple. They band together because they're Jehovah's Witness, and y'all are the enemy. That's how they look at it. Y'all are the enemy, and we brothers and sisters. But in Islam, we don't have that mentality. We believe that we have the luxury, oh, discast that brother, discast that masjid, or that masjid, leave them alone. We don't have that luxury. We are the minority, and we don't band together, because that's how Allah, entangled our success, is that we have to stick together in order to be successful against the kuffar. Because if it's just us against them, we would never win, because we are the minority. So we have to have Allah by our side, and the only way we can get Allah by our side is we have to stick together and do a feasibility that, and that's the only way Allah will support us. Until then we're always going to be in the minority. We're never going to own anything, no hospitals. It's not a coincidence that if you look at history, you see groups like the Black Panther movement. The Black Panther movement are the group that invented WIC, Women and Children. They invented that program. They built hospitals, little medical clinics, and they wasn't even Muslim. It's not like they had Quran. It's not like they had the Sunnah at their disposal, but they had unity. They had unity, and they stuck together, and they did it for their community, and they established programs that go on today. The Nation of Islam, that we all can agree that they are kuffar, 100%, we can agree, but they had unity, so therefore their unity grossed $1 million a week from the city of Philadelphia. They established the Final Call newspaper. Whether you agree with the principles of it or not, they established it, and they was making money off of it. You know, I remember Iman Siraj Mahaj said that he quit his job, a regular job, in order to sell Muhammad Speaks newspaper because he was dedicated to the cause. We don't have Muslims dedicated to the cause of Islam where they will quit their job just to support the religion of Islam. We don't have that. That's what we need. We need unity, and we need to love each other unconditional because we don't have nothing else. The kuffars are not going to help us. The Christians are not going to help us. If we don't support one another, nobody else will. As simple as that. If we don't support the halal stores, if we don't support the brother that's selling incense and oils, even if we don't support the brother that's selling turtles, we criticize them, but they say they're doing something halal. They sell the turtles, right. They're not killing nobody. All right, support them. Get your son a turtle. Right. Why not? If you support them, Allah will support you. But if you have the mentality that we have the luxury just to not support people because we don't like their politics or them personally, then we're never going to rise as a religion. We're never going to come together and own anything. And if you look at history, people were successful in this country because they stuck together. Simple. Simple as that. Not because they had Allah at their back. Allah didn't support them. The Prophet didn't support them. But they had each other, so therefore they were successful because that's the blueprint. In order to be successful, you have to stick together. In every walk of life, you have a Chinatown in Philadelphia because Chinese stick together. You don't even have a Muslim town. You don't even have a black town. You don't have anything because we don't stick together. We have to support one another. Even if we disagree, if it's good, support the brother. Why not? If you don't do that, you're going to just give your money to the kuffar, and they're not going to support you. When you need money to pay your rent, you can't call the kuffar and ask you. They're not going to help you out. They're going to put your lights out and put you right on the street.
Or like they did the Muslim homeless family. Put you in there, and because then you don't want to revert to Christianity, we want to snatch it away from you again. You know, this is we can't understand this. We can't understand this, and it's like it's not that hard. Islam's not that hard to understand, and it's not that hard to get it together. It's just not that hard. It's like, you know, I said this on.
So you said they want to kick them out now because they don't want to be Christians.
Yep, basically. Yeah, that's the whole situation. They was going to lose the home because they wanted them to go to a Christian retreat. They wanted them to go see a Christian psychologist and marriage counselor and all this other stuff. And when they established to them, they like, we're Muslim. We don't keep partaking in it. They got offended and said that, oh, it was because of other issues. That's why we don't want them there. They're not being compliant and things like that. So, you know, if we had those kind of resources, and I did a whole show on that, and I tried to start a movement. But, again, people, it's not just the Muslims. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the African-American thing. It's a black thing. Black people don't want to see
You know what I thought it was, but they got black billionaire churches out there. Creflo Dollar is a crook. T.D. Jakes is a crook. Yeah, they got multi-millions of dollars. Because I thought it was just a black thing, too, but it's, I don't know what it is. We don't have the same support or enthusiasm about our religion than they got about theirs. You see what I'm saying?
And I'm saying, in the city of Philadelphia, we should have a domestic violence shelter run by Muslim women. We should have Muslim women doctors. We should have a clinic or a doctor, a hospital. We should have a school. We should have these things here in Philadelphia with the Muslims that's here, but they can go and justify buying, you know, $300 sneakers and belts and stuff, but you can't give money even to the masjid to keep the lights on and the water running. Like, I don't understand this stuff. I don't get it. And it's sad when you see people trying to do so much good. Like, we're trying to do good. We're not trying to be out here robbing and, you know, stealing from people and, you know, ducking and diving and kind of people. We're not out here trying to do this. And like you said, I try to support anybody who's doing something. dinners, I'm going to try to get you buy some dinners. You got this going on, let me know. I'll try to support it. If I can't support it, I'll promote it. You see what I'm saying? So that's like, you know, I try to, you know, make sure that people understand it. And we, this is beyond being Muslim. We as this black people got to get beyond that scope that they want to have more than me, and I can't let them outshine me. Malcolm X said a quote. Malcolm X said a quote. He said that if you go into a Jewish neighborhood, you don't see black stores. If you go into a white neighborhood, you don't see black stores. If you go into a Dominican neighborhood, you don't see black stores. You go into an Asian neighborhood, you don't see black stores. But if you come into our neighborhood, you see all of their stores. What does that say about us as a people? I mean, what does that say about us as a people? We don't allow anybody to come in and do what they want to us, where we won't even stand together and support one another. We won't do it. We won't do it. Like, I guess I'll never understand it. I'll never have that kind of knowledge over there. May Allah give me tawfiq over that situation, because I can't wrap my hands around it that we don't want to support nobody with nothing. And I'm talking about free stuff. People won't even come out to support something that's free. You're giving them something, and they still won't do it because it's you. They don't want to support you because you're doing something positive, and they not, and the light is not shining on them, and it's sad. It's pathetic. Like, I just never seen such stuff like this before. And, I mean, just amongst black people, amongst Muslims, like, we should have a better mentality than this. We should have a better mentality than this. It ain't about what men had you follow with, what color you wear. I mean, we got to get off of that. We really got to get off of that. That's a sorry excuse for you to continue to be, you know, lame. That's what it is. It's a sorry excuse for you to justify your evil means, because that's what it is. Mm. At the end of the day, that's what it is. And,
that's deep.
You know, like, and I mean, it is what it is, because like you said, it's the Muslims from the 90s, we had it hard. I mean, I remember when I went to school and had a kimono on, the teacher snatching it off, like, you can't wear that rag in school. Like, what? Like, what? Like, we had to get the imam to sign a letter saying that we're Muslim and we have to wear it. I mean, this was it, you know what I'm saying? This is the struggles that you had to go through in the 90s. And I wasn't, I didn't go to Bartram, I didn't go to Overbrook. I went to school out in the Northeast. I was part of the desegregation program. So you know they already ain't want us out there. And now you're going to come with some Muslim stuff? Oh, yeah, it was crazy out there. It was crazy out there. So, I mean, coming from that time and seeing the unity, because we stuck together back then. We really stuck together because we had to. We had no other choice. We can't be, you know, divided amongst each other because so many people are attacking us already. We got to stick together. And, you know, like, I pray and I yearn for the times of the 90s because the companionship, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, just how we was, like, we really showed that we love the law and we love, you know, everything that Islam entailed back then. We really did. And then it was like the 90s, it just started to go haywire, and now I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what these people want. I don't understand the mentality of it. It's just like I don't know. And it gets frustrating, and it hurts. It hurts that if you've been Muslim that long, you know, over 20 years, if you've been Muslim over 20 years, you've seen the dynamics go from positive to hell in the handbasket. It's like, you know, you walk past sisters, they won't greet you. You ain't got the right colors on. You don't go to the masjid. Oh, you know, now they telling you if you marry this brother, he a kafir, you a kafir. Like, I'm like, look, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. It's too much for me. And, you know, sisters reach out to me and be like, oh, well, what masjid you go to? In my home. I don't go to no masjid. In my home. I listen to lectures online. I don't go nowhere. You know what I mean? Because it's just too much fitna. And we definitely, first and foremost, if we had fear for Allah and we had fear and love of Allah, we would not have this kind of warped mentality that we have as Muslims. Like, do you not think that you're going to be judged one day? Like, you're going to be judged for everything that you do, known and unknown. You're going to be judged for. And to have the kind of mentality that we don't want to see our brothers or sisters successful in any kind of manner or mean is just selfish, and it's just not becoming and befitting of a Muslim to have that kind of envy, because that's what it is. That's what it boils down to is envy, is jealousy, is malice, is this hate. Because you don't have what that person has. Everybody's not blessed to have the same thing that everybody else has or will be what someone else has. Be grateful that Allah don't test you with that, because you don't know what that person's struggles are. You don't know what their real demons are on the inside, because everybody got some struggles. They may not be able to show it or tell it, but they definitely got some struggles. And I don't want or envy what nobody else has, because I don't know what they had to go through to get it. And I leave it like that. You know what I mean? I support the Muslims as much as I can and the best of my ability. Inshallah, I continue to be that way. But, that's a whole nother subject, a whole nother show, a whole nother day. So before we get ready to close out.
Unfortunately, I have to get on my own show, inshallah, at 8 o'clock. I have to prepare for that, inshallah.
All right,
but it was good to come on here, though. Shukran, may Allah reward you.
Tell us about the tickets and, the time and the date real quick, and then you can jump off. No, the tickets
can be purchased if you call 267-357-3682, 267-357-3682. We have about 45 tickets left out of 250, so they're dwindling. So they probably be sold out the day of the show, so you should try to get it before then, inshallah. Well, at least reserve your ticket and say, all right, I'll get it that day, inshallah. And it's going to be at the Pearl Theater as Abroad is Here to Be More at 7 p.m. That's going to be the only show this week, inshallah. We're going to try to get another show either next week, or we might get a second show that night. So we're trying to get that right now, inshallah.
Okay.
And it's an hour and 55-minute movie. So it's about a two-hour movie, inshallah.
Inshallah, I appreciate you joining. Go ahead. I know you got to go do your show. May Allah continue to reward you and bless you with all your future endeavors.
Ameen. And you as well. Allah, Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, I appreciate the brother coming on and supporting the show and putting forth the initiative. Putting it out there like what we're trying to do, he comes to me and he tells me his ideas, and I try to promote that on my show, on my page, and support it as much as I can. I mean, it's something positive. I mean, he ain't talking about can he get some lean and who he can cop that from. We don't do this kind of stuff, but y'all glorify that kind of stuff, and that's not where we should be at as Muslims. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be, a shoot-em-up, bang-bang type movie, and then, you justify that, you breaking your neck to spend your money on that. I mean, what kind of blessing and reward can you get out of that? So, come on, help the brothers, support the brothers, support the Muslims, in this endeavor, and just spread the word. Like I said, I'm trying to promote on this show African-American for right now. Just right now, I'm trying to focus on African-American men who are doing positive things in their community. And I'm a broad man. It doesn't even have to be within the city of Philadelphia. This could be in any state, any city around the world. Whatever you're trying to do, if you're African-American male and you're, an African male trying to promote something positive, contact me. I'll put it on the show. I mean, we have to start at home first. And I always say this on my show as far as the foundation. If you want something to be sturdy, you want something to grow upright, you want something to grow and have a firm hold and stability, you have to start with the foundation. And that starts with yourself, that spreads to your home, that spreads to your neighborhood, society, and then it spreads out to the world. We have to think like this, because if we don't, we'll never amount to anything. If you have a topic, idea for the show, you want to give me some feedback, anything like that, feel free to contact me at 610-836-2120. You can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks. That's Facebook, Instagram, Path, Twitter, Google. I have my own page on Facebook. If you look under Religion Means Alive, Quadira section, you'll find my page, and I put all the links and topics for shows and different things that's going on in the community. I advertise it on my page. Also, if you want to listen to this show in its entirety, or if you want to listen to previous shows that I have hosted or other hosts on the show under the format of Religion Means Alive, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred and go to the episode section, and you will find all of our archive shows. So I started doing the shows back in late August of last year. Mashallah, you'll be able to find my shows out there listing with the various topics that I have, you know, presented from that time on. Again, I want to thank all the listeners for joining in and participating and giving your feedback and your ideas. I appreciate it so much. It's been a journey. It's been a journey, and I'm just thankful to Allah that I have the energy to continue on, because I want to see this Muslim community turn into something way better than what it is and way better than what it came from. And, you know, like the brother said, get back to the unification of the community, because there's strength in numbers. And when we're so divided like this, we're just weak, and, you know, we're vulnerable. So, you know, this is what happens when we don't stick together. So, inshallah, we can get that together and, you know, turn things around and just continue to support anybody in the community that's doing something positive and not something that's negative. Inshallah, the show Monday, I'm going to touch on a subject that, you know, I think that a lot of people need to learn and be able to understand that when you're giving that shia or advice, admonishment to another Muslim, there's a certain way that you need to handle it, and there's a certain way that you need to go about it. Because when you are very vocal and hard towards someone, you could turn that person away from Islam. And I know you may say, no, nobody makes Muslim, only Allah makes Muslim, but you could have a hand in that. And we have to be very mindful of that, because of the situation that happened to Anu Shahada that spoke to me, and I was very concerned about that. And this is something that we need to be very mindful of. And I felt as though it was a dire need to speak on this topic, because I've seen it done, and this is something, this is a practice that needs to stop. It needs to stop. We are not perfect. And when you took your shahada, whether you was a revert from a young age or you were a revert 2-3 years ago, you have to remember that you was in a state of unbelief at a point in time, and that you were not perfect. You were ignorant, and you did not know what Islam was about. And be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allowed you to accept Islam. So when you talk down to a new shahada and degrade them in public, I have a problem with that, and that's what I'm going to address on the show on Monday, inshallah. So I thank everybody for joining the show, and I appreciate your support and your continued promotion of the show. So many people are getting back to me with different things, and I greatly appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum, and have a great evening.